The sermon that I came up with this morning is actually called Signs. And then a subtitle to that would be, And the Casting of Lots. Now that's coming from, a lot of that came from class. As we've been going through Acts, in the first couple chapters of Acts, it talks about casting of lots, and that's kind of how we came up with this. Now, when you think about signs, boy, you can go all, you can just really get out there if you want to. There's all sorts of things that people talk about with signs. The first one that actually came to me was, and I don't know if you should preach on something like this, but or mention something like this, but we would use the Farmer's Almanac as I was a kid. And we would clamp cattle or wrestle around cattle, and we wanted to make sure that we did that in the sign. And the sign needed to be falling, for whatever that meant, because I never looked at that Farmer's Almanac, but I knew it had to be falling. And then one time we did it with my grandfather, and I was holding this calf, and he got kicked slightly, and the chin just grazed him like that. We went right back to it, and he just gets clobbered. And I'm thinking, you know, after this, he got kicked in the right in the jaw, just got popped really, really good. And I'm thinking after this, is like, boy, it's a really good thing. I didn't tell him this, but it's like, boy, it's a really good thing the sign was going down, because it knocked his head off if he hadn't been in the sign. So it's crazy what you think about when you start to think about signs. You can really get into superstitious type things. Another one we had as a kid, and this sermon is actually a lot for me, because you need to think about these things. We couldn't start a job on Friday. If we were going to start something different, if we wanted to start a new project or something like that, if you wanted to start on Friday, nope, you could not do that. It was bad luck to start a job on Friday. Or to walk under a ladder. Or all these things like this where our minds go. And you think about that with, you know, we see that on TV with Donald Trump and the bullet just nicking his ear. 51% might have thought that was a sign, and 49% didn't. 50-50. So you think about that a lot. And then we think about, who are these signs from? Are these signs from God? You know, and I've talked to people, are these signs from the devil? You hear people talk about, where are all these signs from? And you go to when you're at Adams, you know, Adams Grain, when I worked there, we worked in a factory. And they would always have these signs. When you go to the bathroom, they have these signs. This is the sign if you have dehydration. Go get some water. You know, there's the sign. That's the sign that you need to go get a drink of water. So you have them everywhere, and you have to wonder about them. So I think we're going to go through these, and that's what my sermon is about, is going through these signs. And so, Harrison, again, I do appreciate you reading Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. And let's look at that again, if you wouldn't mind opening your Bibles, and let's take a look at chapter 16 and verses 1 through 4. And that says, And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, What is it? What it is evening, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Here we have another one. Now we have the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. He wasn't going to give a sign here because these people were out there trying to trick him, or trying to find something that was wrong. Their heart wasn't ready for that. Plus, it comes on the heels of Matthew 15, if you turn with me to Matthew 15 and verses 30 through 31. And those verses say, So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry. So you have, and I read maybe one extra verse, but you have all these things that were out there. As Mark mentioned before, Peter said, all these signs have been here. So they had all these out there. In fact, they were feeding the multitude there. But I want you to keep in mind, as we go through this, to think about things that you have thought through, that you look at as signs, why you might look at that. And let's also think of the sign of Jonah. And it's really, really interesting because, you know, we're going to get, our car is about empty on gas here. We're going to go to the gas station. And when we do go to the gas station, you know, pump 13 and pump 17 are right kind of next to each other. And if 17 and 13 are both open, I'm going to go to 17. And that makes zero sense. And it absolutely is, has nothing to do with anything biblical, but yet I'm going to go to 17. So if I said this sermon was for someone, it's for me. I'd like everybody to turn to Esther chapter 3 and verse 5 through 14. In Esther chapter 3, let's start with verse 5, and we'll go through verse 14. It's a little long, but it kind of gets to the point, because here we see casting lots. In verse 5, it reads, when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of the king Ahasuerus, that they cast Pur. All right, this is what I really wanted you to see. That is the lot. Before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. And Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. And we'll stop there and not go on through 14. Here we have Haman casting a lot. And his lot was to find the best day to kill the Jews. So we have an evil person casting a lot. And it's possible, just possible, that behind all that was God. And the time and the cast and the way it was put down. Because that left a lot of time to come up with a plan and a way to defeat Haman, to take a look at Haman. So we have to think about that. It doesn't say that, but you think, it's like, you know, we gave this time, why would it have been cast this way? Why would it have been cast on that day? And it also wasn't like instant gratification. We think about, you know, when we cast lots today, or when we decide, like when I try to decide if we wanted to take a new job. Actually, we just made a list if it was good or bad. But if the list would have been a tie, or if we would have done something like that, we would have cast a lot. And it would have been for a more instant gratification. And we would have known if that lot was, if that was the way it was supposed to go. So let's think about that. And then let's turn to Joshua chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Let's look at this lot that was cast. The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things that they have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up. Consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus says the Lord, God of Israel. There are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. The morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and the tribes that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans, and the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the households that the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And Achan, which we move on to 20. So what was happening was they were looking for this person, these people. And Achan answered Joshua, and he says when they found him, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and the 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I covered them and took them, and see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. So we take a look and see why and what happened with Joshua and casting a lot. At this time, God used this example to find Achan as the cause of Israel's problem. And you think about the odds of casting lots to find this one man was small. And in this instance, we realize that God was behind this, demonstrating his power. So let's think about that. Then we go to the story which we've been working in Acts chapter 1 with Mark and our class. Let's start with Acts chapter 1, verses 23 through 26. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed, which was really important as we look back at that, and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots, which we talked about earlier, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So let's think about that one again, as we talked about that in class. There was much prayer going on there. And this decision they wanted because of the glory of God. This was the glory of God. And we understand, too, that both of these men were qualified because the apostles had done their homework. So when we think about that lot and how that was cast, there's a lot going on with that. And you think about Joseph as well, who didn't get chosen. You know, I don't know if anyone's ever thought about him, but you'd be like, man, what have I done? Why? I really want to be on Jesus' team. Why wasn't I picked? Perhaps you might say that. It reminded me of, you know, how we'd pick teams in football when I was in sixth grade or fifth grade. And we picked teams, and you always would start out with two captains, and everyone would pick. And you think about that, and there was a guy that I got to pick teams because I brought the football. And then another guy got to pick, and I always picked the same kid to start because he was the best. You know, so I always picked that kid. But one time I just decided, you know, I'm going to pick the second best kid, and we'll see if we can beat the first. And that kid never liked me after that and never would pick me when he was captain at all on a team. And we were always against each other from that point forward. So I mentioned that because it's just, you know, as we talk about a servant, we don't know what happened with that, but you think of this guy probably, if he was one of these two, a servant's heart, and he's like, I understand, and we will take Matthias. So it was interesting. And the way I go through that and think through that, another story of lots, and this one starts to get back to Matthew chapter 16, is Jonah. Let's think about Jonah in chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, "The mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God." Now I want you to take a look at that. That G is a small g in most versions. In the King James, that's a small g, meaning that these guys were looking for any god and every god of each of these people here that maybe could help them. "And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.'" So Jonah then is thrown into the sea. "And they said to one another, 'Come, here we go. Let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." Now you had to think about there, the guys that were casting lots. You know, these lots were used, I guess, to find out who was the cause of the storm. The seamen in this story that were casting the lots, these guys were not anywhere believers of God. They were what they call heathen. So it wasn't God's people. And they were looking to any and each other, each God, any place they could turn. But it seems in this that God manipulated the results to show that Jonah was the cause of the problem. And why? Because of God's greater purpose, that he was supposed to get to Nineveh and he was supposed to help these people. And the lessons that he needed to learn, not only the people of Nineveh, but that big lesson that Jonah needed to learn about serving others and not serving his own needs, which I find quite interesting. And you think about it, you know, when those lots were cast, I'm sure Jonah, I just think that Jonah would, I'll be careful with what I say there, I think. Remember we talked about in class. But with Jonah, he had to be thinking when that lot was coming down, it's going to be me. See, he knew he was in some trouble. And I think about that a little bit. When we ever go to shows and they call people out of the audience, I don't know if anyone's, if you go to shows and think about those shows, we've been to a few lately. One with a comedian and one with like a country western singer. When they say they're going to call somebody out of the audience, I'm like, ah, I know it's going to be me. And it is. It's like 50% of the time. Why is this going to be me? It's like, it's true. I get called up out of the thing. It has nothing to do with God. Dennis, you get called out all the time too. Why is that? I don't get why that is, but I have that sinking feeling. Is that what it is? Is that what it's done to me? I'm glad we pointed that out this morning. Maybe now I realize that's not a sign and that's my head, right?
It's the shine.
So anyway, after going through all these stories, let's really take a summary of casting lots, okay? Casting lots was never an alternative to prayer or faith. Nor should it ever be looked as a substitute for making decisions. We need God's word. And yet, when we look at these stories when everything looks equal, it seems that casting lots can be a way to break the tie. It doesn't mean that God will always manipulate the results. Got it? We only know that God on occasion has done so. And that is when it served his purpose. So changing jobs didn't have anything to do with casting lots for me. And we see that as we go through the Bible where people are looking for a sign. If you look at Jonathan and you think about Jonathan and his armor bearer, so let's think about Jonathan, and I'll just read this real quick so we don't have to turn that. But Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised." Right here he says, "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And we can just think about that one little point at the moment. Saving by many or by few, when we think of how many people we have here, but the great faith that we may have. So let's think about that as we go through the rest of this verse. "So it may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul.' Then Jonathan said, 'Behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, and then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has given them into our hand. And this shall be the sign to us.' So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, 'Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves.' And the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, 'Come up to us, and we will show you a thing.' And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, 'Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel.'" So what do we know about this after reading that? Jonathan didn't know if God was actually going to use him. He didn't know that as he was going to do that. He wasn't certain that God was going to help him. It may have been him. It may have not have been him that was going to be picked to work this. But he put his faith in God, knowing that the garrison was of the uncircumcised, because he knew they weren't of the covenant of God. He didn't demand a sign of God. He didn't say, if you give me the sign, I'm going to do it. He didn't demand it. And he wasn't looking for honor. And if you really dig through this story, he wanted to give God the glory, and then the Lord will work for us. So read that story and dig through that story and think about that. Because we here, and think about the faith, maybe we're few here, but the big faith that Jonathan had and what he accomplished with God's help. It reminds me of the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and King Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 3, if you turn there, we will turn there this time, in verses 16 through 18. It says, "Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made." This is King Nebuchadnezzar talking. "Well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Okay, so then we go to verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.'" So at this point, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not have a direct message or a sign from God. They didn't know what was going to happen. But the point of this story and the key for everyone here is the most important thing that those guys were going to do, they were going to obey God. And that's how the story goes. So now let's get back to faith and start thinking about obeying God. And let's take a look at the sign of Jonah. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, and let's look through verses 38 through 42. It says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.'" Here we go again. "But he answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south," and we talked about this in my last sermon with King Solomon, "the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." So now let's think about that with the sign of Jonah. We see it again in Luke chapter 11 and verse 30. One more time. It says, "For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." Let's think about that. So Jonah would be compared to Jesus as preaching to the people to Nineveh and then giving them what it would take for them to get out of their predicament. Jesus, same thing, would be comparing himself to Jonah in the fact that he is going to have something, he's going to preach, and he would be saving people in a much, much, much bigger fashion. And so you look at the sign of Jonah and how that relates to Jesus and being resurrected from the dead. And this begins to define where our faith should fall. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, let's start to really dig down into this. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Goes back to class that we had again. In John 17:17, it says, To sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. The better answer than looking for a sign is to read God's word. Now I'm going to close this with Isaiah. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 10 through 11. Because God's words, they have a purpose. And in Isaiah 55, chapter verses 10 through 11, as you turn there, I'll read this pretty slow. It says, For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In verse 11 it says, So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, we talked about this in class, God is in control. So I'll leave you with that message. I do want to think about one other sign that we always look at as we drive in. I don't know if anybody ever sees this. I know, Dennis, you probably drive under this sign, but there's a sign on the interstate that says, number of deaths for the year of 2025. And I looked at it a couple weeks ago, it was 18, maybe 3 weeks ago, then it was 25, then it was 38, I think. I've been trying to keep track of it, and I drove under this morning without looking. But I just want to tell everyone, those people, you know, the hope that they have and the hope that we have, their life ended without them really thinking it was going to end. So with that sign, I want to do remember and remind everyone of what it takes to get us to that home in heaven. We need to hear the word in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. With the hearing of that word turns to faith, in Hebrews 11:6, where we repent in Luke 13:3, confess in Matthew 10:23, and then we're baptized, as we've been talking about in class, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Those are the things that it takes. So as we stand to sing the song that was selected, we ask that if these things are something that you haven't done, or if there is something that we need to pray for, and issues or anything like that, feel free to come forward as we stand to sing song number 593.